Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha, Lani Ka'a'a in studio today for Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Bill Belichick, one of my favorite head coaches of the New England Patriots and five-time Super Bowl champion, once said, "Talent sets the floor, but character sets the ceiling." Our guest today, Coach Trent Figg, understands the value of character and how challenging it is to coach college athletes, not only in talent, but in character. We take a minute to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show. It is to lead you to the hope of Jesus Christ, for there is always hope in Him. No matter what you are going through this minute, this day, Jesus died on the cross just for you. He died on the cross for me too. He shed His blood. He was buried. But on the third day, we know He was raised again. He was raised to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. His mercies are new every morning. Today, He is calling you. Coach Trent Figg is the chief of staff for the University of Hawaii football team. He has been coaching at the college level since 2008 as a defensive coordinator. Trent holds a master's in education leadership from Northwest Missouri State. He and his wife, Tori, and their three sons live in Honolulu, Hawaii. Coach Trent, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. I know you're very busy. We are currently in the middle of football season, a very unique season. And you are the head or the neck that turns the head of that program. So first and foremost, thank you for what you do for the University of Hawaii.
Yeah, it has been an absolute honor to be here. And it's an honor to be on here with you today.
Mm-hmm. Trent, we'd love to get to know so much about you, but let's start where you started. Where did you grow up?
Yeah, so I grew up in a small town in north central Missouri. Chillicothe, Missouri is the name of the town, a town of about 12,000 people. Both of my parents are from there. I was born and raised there. Both my mom's parents and my dad's parents were, you know, still in that town as well. Most of my family is still around that area. Mm-hmm. My parents both still live there. And I grew up with a brother that's 2 years older than me, a sister that's younger than me, and then another brother who's younger than me. And we were all born and raised in the same house there in Chillicothe, mm-hmm. Missouri.
Chillicothe, is that what you said?
Yep.
Wow, 12,000 people. So kind of everybody knows everybody.
Yes, which that is definitely the case.
Really good and really challenging at times, I bet.
Exactly, absolutely. Absolutely.
So what was school life like for you in Chillicothe?
Yeah, so it's a one high school town. Mm-hmm. So it was great. It was a great experience for me. Like I said, my mom's an educator. Both her parents were educators in the school system there. So growing up, like you said, everybody knows everybody, and sports, in a town like that, sports are kind of the focus of everything that mm-hmm. you do. So I was fortunate to be a member of several really good teams there growing up, through school, and was able to have a lot of success there as a team. So it was a ton of fun. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I went on to college at William Jewell College, which is in Kansas City, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Is that not too far from where you grew up?
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half, mm-hmm. from driveway to driveway, yeah. From where I grew up there. Yeah.
So who would you say influenced you the most as you were growing up?
Yeah, I was around family all the time. So I was, obviously heavily influenced by my family. Like I said, both my parents were, raised in Chillicothe. Their parents were raised there as well, but there was, two other people, my youth pastor, Greg Hughes, mm-hmm. Growing up, he was a youth pastor at my church. Then my high school football coach, Bill Willard, mm-hmm. As well. Those were all people that had a major impact on me growing up.
Mm. And, you talk about your youth pastor. And so were you always involved in youth ministry, or did you become involved later? How did that go?
Yeah. From a pretty young age, I was involved in that. And I actually, after my freshman year of college, I knew that I always wanted to be something in the world of education. And you know, went back and forth on, hey, you know, do I go into ministry? Do I go into coaching? You know, which way do I go? And after my freshman year of college, I actually did an internship with the church that I grew up in as a worked with Greg Hughes there alongside of him one summer and went on three different mission trips. Wow. And, you know, kind of got a very, you know, up close and personal look at what, you know, ministry on that side of it looks like. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I really felt like God was calling me into coaching. You know, that's just where my talents I felt could be better used, you know, and being able to relate to people in this world. And so that's where I've ended up.
Wow. So you always knew the Lord. You were raised in a Christian home. Is that true?
Yeah, I was. You know, I was very fortunate, like I said, to be raised around, you know, my parents, my grandparents, you know, brothers and sisters. And, you know, from an early age, you know, always went to church. And, you know, really whenever I went, you know, my last years in high school and my time in college, you know, was when my faith really became my own. You know, that's when I felt like I really took, you know, ownership of my faith, you know, because like I said, I grew up in the church, you know, and around that. But, you know, from 18 years old is whenever I, you know, really kind of took ownership of my faith and made that the central part of who I am.
So let me ask you this, because, of course, I have children who are 18 and 24. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've grown up in the church as well. But, you know, there comes a time as a parent when you let go and
right.
just pray for your kids and that they
for
would
sure.
choose Jesus on their own.
Absolutely.
What do you believe really just sort of made you make that choice to have your own relationship? At what point did that happen?
You know, I saw different people in, you know, in my life, around my life, you know, that had strayed away from Jesus. I saw people that had drawn near to Jesus. You know, and the people that I surrounded myself with, I was very fortunate, you know, that a lot of times they were pulling me in the right direction. You know, when you grow up in a small town, you don't always get to choose all the people that you're around. You know, I was fortunate to grow up around, you know, some really good people. And then I met my wife whenever I was in college. And she's been she's played a huge role in that as well. She's as rock solid as they come. And before my junior year of college, I was asked to lead FCA at our college. And typically people do that, with a partner or whatever. And her and I, we had been in classes together in college. We both went to FCA, didn't really know each other that well. She was a very talented athlete where we were going to school, and I played football there. You know, and I just asked her to help me lead it with no intention of forever being my wife. You know, but she's played a huge role in the development of my faith as well.
Okay, so you said FCA, and I know that to be Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Tell
right,
us a little
right.
bit more yep. about FCA.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, we called it FCA. I don't know if we were actually officially sponsored by FCA at our school or not. That's just what we called it, because it was a group of Christian athletes that got together and met. So, you know, really what it was just a time, you know, once a week when we had fellowship with other, you know, Christian athletes.
Yeah. So, as you were going through, you talk a little bit about your college and playing football. What were some of the challenges as you transitioned into collegiate sports from high school sports?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I grew up in a small town. You know, it was a town of 12,000 people. So, you know, when you get to college, you know, you may be the all-star on your team, you know, in a small town like that. But when you get to college, everybody's the all-star on your team. You know, so it was a little bit of culture shock getting there and just seeing, hey, everybody here was the best player on their high school team, and most of their high schools were a lot bigger than mine. You know, so that was, you know, then obviously anytime you leave, you know, and you go off on your own, even though I was only an hour and a half away, it's always tough, you know. And that's what, you know, my first year in college, I struggled with that. And that was one thing that really led me to say, hey, I want to be a coach. Because, you know, I always said growing up, I want to be a high school football coach. I want to be a high school football coach. I want to be a high school football coach. And then whenever I got the chance to be in college and see, man, these kids in college, everybody sees college football players as these big, bad guys. And, man, these guys need somebody. You know, people in college, that's when, you know, when you're in high school, you know, most people grow up, you know, with their parents or with family, you know, so they have some guidance. But whenever somebody drops you off in a dorm room and you're by yourself, that's when you really need guidance. You know, so that's what's really drawn me into the college coaching world as opposed to the high school. And I'm not saying I would never coach high school, because who knows? I mean, you never know what, you know, where those roads lead. You know, but that's why I've been in college athletics as long as I have, because I feel like these kids, you know, this is a point in their life, you know, whenever they go to college, whenever, and that's when they really do start to make decisions, because they have to decide if they want their faith to be their own or not. Because when you're growing up, if you grow up in a Christian home, you know, you're probably going to go to church on Sundays, and, you know, for the most part, make pretty good decisions. But when you get to college, you know, that's when you've really got to decide, is this what I really believe in and how I'm going to live my life?
Yeah. Coach Trent, so you're really touching a nerve, because I have a freshman in college who's an athlete right now. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for us parents. But I know that there is a lot of prayers that I say every day for that young man. And when we come back, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, can we talk more about that? I'd like to hear your story, your freshman year story. And I think that could really motivate and change the life of a young one right now who is in their freshman year in college, trying to stay true to the youth that they were in youth group, knowing the Lord, understanding the call that they have on their life, and yet being distracted by the world around them. It's tough. And Coach Trent, I think you have something that you could share with us that might help our young people move through that freshman year of college. We're at the Good Life Radio with Coach Trent Figg of the University of Hawaii football team. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arunaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Aloha Lani Ka'a'a here in studio for Danny Yamashiro. We continue our discussion But in a moment, but if you would like to hear today's program again or share it with somebody, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. You can listen to it. You can download it. You can share today's message. We're here with Coach Trent Figg of the University of Hawaii football team. And in our last segment, we were just talking about that transition from high school to college and that freshman year challenge. Before that, Coach, I know I want to talk about that, but let's start a little further back. When you were looking to go to college, how did you make the choice where to go, whether to play or not, and what did the Lord do in that in those questions?
Man, you're asking some really good questions. Mm-hmm. So this is another reason why I'm in the profession I'm in, because I really love helping kids make a choice, mm-hmm. you know, and helping them through the, because choosing a college is a big deal and it's a huge decision. You know, I grew up in a smaller town, you know, that was kind of known as a football town, so I had some recruiting opportunities, you know, but, you know, so I got through my senior year, and I was always a little bit undersized, you know, and didn't really know, always knew that I definitely wanted to keep playing, didn't know if it was going to be possible or not, you know, and I can remember, it was actually my senior year during basketball season. After practice one day, you know, my football coach stopped by and just said, hey, you know, I've had a couple college coaches call me, you know, and ask me about you, you know, where are you at with this? You know, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. You know, and that was kind of the first time I realized, you know, maybe I might be able to keep playing. And I said, you know, I'd love to talk to them. And I kind of gave them a list of schools. Hey, these are the schools I'd consider. You know, but I started probably a little bit too late in the process looking. Now, I would not go back and change anything about it, you know, because where I went to college is where I met my wife. Mm-hmm. That's completely changed my entire life.
Yeah.
You know, and where I went to school has provided every opportunity, you know, that I've had, you know, in my career and everything since then. So I wouldn't change that for the world. If I was giving advice to somebody, I would tell people, you need to check out every option that you have. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't go on a whole bunch of college visits. I went and visited two different schools. You know, looking back, I probably would have visited more. You know, and I didn't really even know what I was looking for in school, you know, so I tell kids and I tell families now whenever I'm recruiting is you need to sit down, you need to make a list of this is what you're looking for first in a school and then what you're looking for in a football program, you know, because you're a student athlete. You know, so I tell kids all the time, even when I'm recruiting them, hey, you need to look at every option that you have, because at the end of the day, you want to find the school that's the right fit for you, because you don't want to go through the recruiting process twice. You want to do it once. You know, so I was fortunate to, you know, I was fortunate to have the opportunity to play, but, you know, going through the process, I was not very thorough, as a senior in high school, mm-hmm. and it was my own fault. You know, I knew I wanted to play, didn't really know, you know, where it would end up, and, you know, ended up with, you know, two or three different options of places where I could go play,
mm-hmm.
You know, but I would just say people just need to be very, very thorough, and you got to know what you're looking for, because your freshman year of college is hard no matter where you go, because it's the biggest transition, you know, probably that you've had in your life so far. You know, so it's tough. And if you go to the wrong place, it makes it even that much worse,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. You know, I remember when, one of my sons was being recruited, someone who was coaching him gave him probably the best advice I've ever heard. And he said, you want to pick the school that if you got hurt tomorrow and could
right.
never play again, you'd still stay
yep.
there. And I
Absolutely.
Thought that is amazing advice.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right.
Yeah. So you get to college, you make that choice finally, and you get to mm-hmm. college and you say that transition is the biggest that a young 17, 18 year old has made so far. What challenges
yeah.
did you face when you first got to college?
I was two hours from my house and I was homesick, and I don't tell a lot of people that, but I'll just be honest with, I was kind of lost, because mm-hmm. when you grow up in a small town, you have some really good friends, and none of my friends were going to school where I went to school, you know, because yeah. it was a, you know, I was going there to play football. You know, and I probably wouldn't have chosen that school. If I would have taken the advice that you just said of, hey, if you could never play again, would you still go to school there? The answer is probably no. Again, I love my alma mater, William Jewell. It's a great place. I wouldn't do anything differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I didn't have any friends that went there with me, which at the end of the day ended up being a huge blessing. Mm-hmm. But to get through really the first semester was mm-hmm. probably some of the hardest, probably the four hardest months of my, you know, different phases of my life have had different challenges, but that was a major challenge, just adjusting to, I don't know anybody. I'm coming from a small town of 12,000 people where I knew everybody, and I'm going where I don't know anybody and nobody knows me. And so you got to completely reprove yourself. And when you go somewhere new, you can start over and be whoever you want to be. It's the same way, you know, college coaching, there's a lot of turnover. You know, I've, you know, my wife and I have moved 7 times in 10 years, which I'm not, you know, it is what it is. She's awesome. You know, but every time you go to a new job, it's just like going to college. You can restart, you can reinvent yourself, you know, because you go to a place where not, now obviously if you go to a place where a lot of people know you, they know who you are, but you know, whenever you take a new job or whenever you go to college, you truly get to decide, this is who I'm going to be. And at the end of the day, it ended up being a blessing for me. Like, some of my very best friends in the world now are the people that I played with and that I met in college. You know, but it was getting through that. And I think not so much the first year, the first semester, when you go back from Christmas break after your freshman year, it's like, okay, this is okay. You know, because you go back home over Christmas break and you see all your friends and everybody's a little bit different and everybody's kind of started to do their own thing. And then you go back to who your friends are in college. And then from there, it was, I mean, from there, my college experience was great.
You know, I was reading your bio and very impressed. You were named an academic All-American. What was that like as you progressed through college?
Yeah, you know, my academics have always been really important to me. It's something that I've just always taken pride in. You know, my ACT score was not the highest in my graduating class. It probably wasn't the lowest, but it wasn't the highest. But, you know, one thing that was instilled in me from a young age was you earn everything that you have, you know, and if you're, my dad would always tell me, if you will just work hard, everything else will work out. You know, he said, you know, there's so many people in the world that aren't willing to work, you know, and I don't, like I said, I was not the smartest person on my team. But, you know, one thing I did, I went to class every day, whether I felt like it or not. And I put in maximum effort. You know, the school I went to was not a Division I school, so I wasn't on a full ride. So I was paying for half of my school, you know, and I wasn't, I always used to tell people, man, if you sleep through class, that's like a $400 nap, you know?
So, that's so good.
You know, I took a lot of pride, you know, in what that looked like. And it wasn't because I wanted to, you know, be able to flash around a high GPA. I've just always taken pride in, if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to the very best of my ability.
You know, that as you progress through school, I mean, there's so many things you're challenged with, both academically, but also athletically. What was it like to be part of a team? I noticed that you also won the Team Hustle Award. What is that all about? What were those years like?
Yeah, like I said, I've always been a little bit undersized, and so I had to work a little bit harder than everybody else. You know, so that award came in the off season. You know, really for the person who had the best off season, you know, was the hardest worker on the team. You know, that's what award that was. So you know, being a student athlete in college, you know, I tell people all the time, if you have the chance to play, go play, because I was so bored in the off season. You know what I mean? That people always say, man, how do you have enough time? You know, how do you have enough time to do all that? And being a student athlete just forces you to manage your time. You know, you learn time management. You learn how to, you know, do all those things. But it's also accountability. You know, that's one thing that I love. I love routine and I love accountability. You know, and you get on a routine and you're part of a team. And, you know, I wouldn't do it any differently.
You know, I sometimes get asked this question myself. I'm going to ask you the same thing. Why is athletics an important part of a young person's life?
You know, I think it mirrors life because there's ups and downs, you know, and Coach Graham, our head coach here, says all the time, tough people come out of tough times, you know, and, you know, when you're in athletics, you know, nobody in the world has won every single game they've played, you know, and so you learn how to handle adversity. You know, I think athletics mirrors lives because you get knocked on the ground and you got to pick yourself back up. You know, and there's good days and there's bad days, and you've got to learn to be your best in every situation.
Highlight moment of your college career?
Wow. you know, probably being, you know, whenever I got the Team Hustle Award, that was really awesome. You know, being named an Academic All-American was, you know, that was a big deal to me. you know, to be recognized for, you know, both of those things were recognition for, you know, things I felt like I earned, you know, through hard work. So those were two big highlights for me.
Mm-hmm. And through college, you and your, well, now wife both played sports?
Yeah. She was a volleyball player there. Mm-hmm. Very talented volleyball player there. Yeah, we were both very proud to be William Jewell Cardinals.
You know, you talk a lot about William Jewell College, and so after you graduated and finished your studies, you decided to come back to the college.
Yeah.
So what made you decide to return?
Yeah, so as soon as I got done playing, you know, my plan was to go coach high school ball, you know, back in Chillicothe or something. And, you know, there was a coaching change right after I got done playing, and there was a new defensive coordinator that came in, and I was around a little bit and got to know him. And he's like, you know, he just asked me, he said, you know, I was going to finish the last semester as like a student assistant, just helping out while I was finishing school. So I was just around the program a little bit. And he's like, you know, I think you ought to try this college thing. You know, I think you ought to see how it goes. I'm like, man, I mean, I've never wanted to do that before. I'm going to go back to my hometown and hopefully be the next head coach there and, you know, build a little house and live there the rest of my life.
Yeah.
He's like, I think you ought to try this deal out. So I did, you know, and to get into college, usually you have to volunteer. So I was basically a volunteer coach for a year and a half.
Wow.
And then he was the defensive coordinator. Then he got the head job there and he hired me, you know, so I was able to stay there for a while. And then, you know, I've had some other, you know, really unique opportunities. Mm-hmm. Actually, my roommate from William Jewell College was working for Todd Graham at Arizona State at mm-hmm. the time and got me connected with Coach Graham. So mm-hmm. I went out there as a graduate assistant, and then I went to Southern Arkansas and back to William Jewell and back to Southern Arkansas, mm-hmm. then Missouri State, and then now I'm here in Hawaii. You know,
wow.
So it all kind of started, you know, with just a couple simple conversations of, hey, I think you ought to try this college thing out, and I did it, and I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I was, it's, you know, throughout my entire career, you know, my wife's been right there beside me, and every decision we've made has been, I mean, God has clearly opened and closed doors. It's mm-hmm. truly amazing. Just the story of how we got to Hawaii is just truly amazing, of how God has just really opened and closed
yeah.
doors. He's made it very clear, you know, and we're just, I mean, we're just surrendered to whatever he has for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've been very, very blessed up to this point.
Coach Trent, what a story you have. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about God's leading you. What does that
Absolutely.
Look like? And you say it was
For
a
sure.
clear picture. And my goodness,
yep.
I wish, you know, that I could say that the picture was always crystal clear from the Lord. More like a
right.
dartboard that I just kind of, you know, do my best to throw
yep,
it.
I got you.
But yeah, let's talk about some of those transitions. Maybe there was times of challenge where we can see the Lord's hand and his miracle work in your life. And would love to know a little bit more about your family, how you raised the family, a bit on the road as a coach going from college to college, and just the life of a father and a coach. We're here with Coach Trent Figgs today. He is the University of Hawaii Chief of Staff for the football team in his first year here at the University of Hawaii. We're looking forward to a great season. We'll get to talking about that in a little bit. Stay with us. We're at The Good Life.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
We're here today with Coach Trent Figg from the University of Hawaii men's football team. He has had a long career coaching college, started at his own college alma mater, William Jewell College in Kansas City, Missouri. What was it like returning to your own alma mater and now being a coach, probably of some athletes who you once were a teammate of?
You know, that was a very interesting transition to start. You know, my first year in coaching, there were some guys that were, you know, that I had played with. But, you know, the guy that I worked for, the defensive coordinator, his name's Jared Cruzy. You know, he set me down before I started. He said, look, he said, if you want to be successful, he said, there's got to be a clean break with these guys. He said, it can't be a deal where you hang out with these guys. He said, if you're going to be their coach, you got to be their coach. You know, and so he really helped me with that transition. It really wasn't a big deal, you know, but it was, you know, it was an adjustment.
As a young coach, what were some of the learning curves, some of the challenges, the art of coaching?
For sure. I mean, it was a steep learning curve. Just, I mean, because when you play, you don't see the whole picture, you know. And so, you know, whenever you first get into it, it's like drinking from a fire hose, you know, because I'm trying to learn as much as I possibly can. You know, so, you know, just from a, you know, from a 10,000 foot level, you know, whenever you're a player in a program, you see what you need to do and you do that and that's all you do. You know, and then when you start coaching, you see everything and it's a little bit overwhelming for a while.
Can you think of an aha moment as a coach that, you know, really helped you realize, wow, when I was a player, now that makes sense?
Yeah, for sure. You know, so, you know, whenever we're out at, you know, out at practice, you know, we obviously we're stressing the importance of every single play. You know, I can remember whenever I was a young coach, you know, I'm out there, you know, working with the scout teams and, you know, just getting so frustrated because they're not taking some things seriously. And it's like, golly, why don't you guys take this stuff seriously? I'm like, I used to be the exact same way. You know, when you're 18 years old, you show up and you, you know, you act the way you feel and you know, you're just not very mature.
When you were a young coach and even now, talk to us about maybe some of the challenges working with players, working with attitudes, working with families. What kind of challenges do you face?
For sure. You know, I was fortunate that my background is in education and coaching to me is teaching, you know, so that you know, one of the biggest challenges is just figuring out the ways that your players learn. You know, because if you can figure out how they learn, you know, then you can teach them the correct way. But so many coaches, you know, just try to teach in a cookie cutter mold and every kid learns differently, you know? So I think it's really important that coaches have a background in education and understand how to teach.
When you start a season, what kind of goals do you set for the team? What are the most important goals that you set as a coach?
Yeah, you know, something that's really, really important, you know, is that our players see the big picture of life, you know, through us as coaches. So, you know, we're always going to talk about winning championships. Whenever we talk about winning championships, I think it's really important to to explain to them, guys, we want to win a championship and we want to hold up a trophy at the end of the season. That's why we're all here. But at the end of the day, whenever you're done with this program, we want you to be a championship husband and a championship father. And if we can do that, then we've met our goal.
Wow. That's easy said, right?
Easy yes, said. It is.
Yes. Very
yeah, there's
easy
a lot said. That goes into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, as a Christian in the coaching world, I know, you know, I read the paper and I see in the news that, you know, there's challenges for coaches who are Christians, especially today. What kind of challenges have you faced as a Christian while coaching?
Yeah, you know, I think you've just got to genuinely be confident in who you are. Mm-hmm. You know, because like, I mean, there's challenges everywhere, you know, in sports, you know, there, it's a little bit more in the media. So you see it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the biggest thing is, you know, every day you've got to wake up and you just have to have confidence and you have to have your priorities straight. Because it's kind of like going to college your freshman year. You can get pulled in a whole bunch of different directions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very fortunate here at the University of Hawaii, Coach Graham is, you know, he's a very faithful, faith-based man. And, you know, that's very important to him, you know, to hold his coaches accountable. So, I mean, that's so important to work for somebody, you know, that has the same values.
And what are maybe some of the high points of coaching with Coach Graham and some of the lessons mm-hmm. that you've learned from him?
For sure. So Coach Graham is one of the most passionate. He's probably the most passionate person I've ever been around.
Mm-hmm.
And he's passionate about everything that he does. He's passionate about his faith. He's passionate about winning games. He's passionate about changing these kids' life. You know, so the thing that, you know, one thing I've learned from him, you know, he's going to just continue to push and push and push every day to make everybody their very best. And he has all the right intentions behind that. And he says all the time, you know, tough people come out of tough times, you know, and in sports, you know, like I said, it's a, you know, it kind of mirrors our life, you know, so there's good times and bad times, but you know, how you come out of it at the other end is going to define you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, I think that you've had time with him and then there's been a season when you haven't been coaching under him. So I'm curious as to how that you returned to coaching with him again.
Yeah. So I coached with him. The last time I coached with him was 2013. So it was 7 years ago.
Wow.
You know, and since then, you know, he had been at Arizona State. You know, I had actually been at three schools in that time. You know, so most recently, the last 2 years, I was at Missouri State University. It was a great job, great place, great people. We just didn't win enough games. You know, so at the end of the season, you know, going into the season, my wife and I are both very prayerful people, you know, and she had even said to me, she said, you know, I really feel like, you know, God is just putting, you know, he's really putting change on our hearts, you know, and she told me, she said, I think we need to really be open to what God is calling us to do. Cause we look at this as a ministry. I mean, she's at home with our boys, raising our boys and basically, you know, supporting me, you know, through this deal, you know, and she told me, and I agreed with her, you know, we just really need to be open to whatever God has for us. So we get through the season, January, actually in December, I found out that the head job at William Jewell was open. The head football job at William Jewell College was open.
Wow.
I was contacted about it. You know, so they had about 100 people apply for it. And I was starting the process. I'd met with the athletic director once and, you know, he said, hey, you know, I think that this could be a really good fit. You know, I want you to pursue it. So I did. A couple weeks into that pursuit, we found out that the head coach at Missouri State was not coming back for the next year. You know, and usually when that happens, the new coach comes in and gets rid of everybody. So found out the head coach from Missouri State was leaving. Shortly after that, found out that I was in the top three for the head job at William Jewell.
Wow.
The head coach of Missouri State left. They named a new guy the head coach there the day before my interview at William Jewell. So I go and I meet with the new guy thinking, hey, he's going to come in and just fire me right away. And I was one of two people on the staff that he said, hey, you know, I think I'd like to talk to you a little bit more. I may have a spot for you to stay here at Missouri State.
Wow.
You know, so all the while my wife and I, you know, we're saying, hey, maybe this is the change God's talking about. You know, we're going to, you know, work for a different staff or we're going to go back to William Jewell. You know, what is this change looking like? So, long story short, I go and I interview at William Jewell. It's a 15-hour interview, interview with a 23-person search committee, meet with every person on campus. And basically, you know, a ton of people, you know, on campus had said, this job is yours. You know, I met with a bunch of alumni guys that I knew, and they were all saying, hey, this job yours, man. You're going to come take this thing. It's going to be really good.
Yeah.
So 15-hour interview. I get back to the hotel that night about 9 o'clock. At 9:30, I get a call from the new head coach at Missouri State, and he says, hey, you know, this, it's not going to work out. I hired somebody else, so you no longer have a job at Missouri State.
Wow.
And all the while, I'm thinking, well, hey, you know, I've got this job at William Jewell. It's going to be great. So go back home the next day to Missouri State, clean up my office, get back to my house on that Tuesday. That Tuesday night, I get a call from Coach Graham, and he says, hey, I'm going to take this job at the University of Hawaii. Would you like to come with me? And I said, well, I said, you know, I'm in the process of interviewing for this job at William Jewell. I want to see it through. And he said, you know, I've got a couple things to work out on my end as well. You know, let's connect in a few days and see if, you know, see if there's really a spot and see what happens. So the next day I get a call from William Jewell, and the AD says, hey, man, we're going with somebody else,
wow.
Which was a shock.
Wow.
And so then the next day, which is a Thursday, Coach Graham called and said, hey, you know, I definitely have a spot for you. I want you to come to Hawaii.
Wow.
You know, so it was just very, very clear. Neither my wife or I had ever been to Hawaii before I stepped on the plane and came out here and took the job. You know, we've got three little boys,
wow.
And, family back in the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just very clear. I mean, and we prayed because whenever I got the call from Coach Graham at Hawaii, both my wife and I said, so how are we going to tell either William Jewell or Hawaii? No.
Right.
You know, I mean, we just prayed for clarity because, you know, the chance to be a head coach at my alma mater, that'd be really hard to say no to.
Mm-hmm.
The chance to come back with Coach Graham at Hawaii, it'd be really hard to say no to. Mm-hmm. And we just prayed for clarity, and I didn't get the job, you know, and it worked out that the job was here, and we packed up and moved out here.
Yeah. What an amazing story. I can see why you say it's clarity. I mean,
you
hear people say all the time, the Lord opens the door, opens the window when he closes the door, I think is how it goes.
For sure.
And boy, did he do that for you, you know?
Yeah, and it wasn't easy. You know, at the end of it, it looks like, hey, man, you're at Hawaii. That's a great deal. Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, at the end of it, it ended up being easy. But there was a lot of pain. There was a lot of heartache that went into that.
Well, and, you know, and somebody looking at it on the blush goes, well, gee, we're rejected from two jobs. Oh, no, that was,
right.
You know, the truth of the matter is God had your back.
No question. Exactly.
And sometimes I know in my own life when that happened, I think to myself, okay, Lord, you knew that I might make the wrong choice. So you helped me make it.
Exactly. Right.
Make the one you needed me to make, right?
No question.
Yeah.
Yep.
Coach Trent, we're going to come right back. I love that. And I am so glad that the Lord closed every single door but the door to the University of Hawaii, because you are
a
blessing.
Too.
And we're going to come back for our final segment. I want to talk about the University of Hawaii football team. I have been waiting to talk a little bit more with you. I'm a diehard fan ever since I was a little girl. And as many of our listeners are diehard fans of the University of Hawaii, and we are praying for you this season. So let's talk a little bit about the football team, what we can look forward to this season, especially during COVID. We're here with Coach Trent Figg. We have one more segment to talk about University of Hawaii football. Stay with us. It's going to be a good story.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042. 484-2042.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Coach Trent Figg is here in studio with us today. He is currently the chief of staff for the University of Hawaii football team. You know, in our last segment, we were talking, Coach, about how you came here. And it just reminded me of, you know, there are lots of plans of man. But God knows the way. And what I admire about you is the patience that you and your wife had in prayer to wait on the Lord. And it is such a testimony to your obedience and your patience. And I'm excited that the Lord brought you here. And I kind of want to know why. So
yeah,
why was the choice Hawaii besides working with the coach, you know, Graham? And what do you see?
Yeah, you know, we just, like I said, we've always been very open and tried to just surrender to what mm-hmm. God's plan is for us. You know, and whenever we knew the head coach of Missouri State wasn't coming back, I mean, I was even exploring, you know, hey, if I can't get into coaching, I've got to do something. You know, my wife and I take a lot of pride, and we've got three young boys, mm-hmm. and she stays home with our boys, and so, you know, we were going to do whatever it took for her to continue to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God just continued to, you know, close doors that weren't the right ones. You know, and we felt very strongly after Coach Graham called and talked to me about this job. We just felt very strongly that this is where God was calling us to be. You know, and it was funny last fall whenever we were talking, my wife was saying, you know, I just really feel like God's just telling us to be open. Mm-hmm. She goes, I don't know what that means, but I really feel like he's just telling us, you know, we can't put him in a box and we've just got to be open to more than we could ever imagine. You know, and I didn't figure I'd ever even visit Hawaii. You know, I grew up in a small town of 10,000 people, you know, and going to Hawaii has been like, oh, that'd be really awesome to do someday. And now I live here, you know, you know, so it was, you know, it was just very clear to us. And I know that's hard for, you know, for several people to understand. And I understand why it's hard, but, you know, we felt, you know, we've always just really surrendered and this is where he led us.
Mm. So you make that big decision to move your family thousands yeah. of miles, three small kids, changing their whole world. What has that transition been like and how has the Lord helped you through that?
You know, there's some really, really great people on our staff here. My wife's a really strong person. You know, and we've got three little boys. The hardest part has been, you know, I moved in February. They moved in March.
Mm.
They moved here a week before the state got shut down,
wow.
basically.
Mm.
You know, so my oldest is a kindergartner, you know, and he still hasn't been to school, you know.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, just getting them into a routine, which my wife, Tori, does a great job with that.
Mm.
You know, but we were wanting to get him involved, you know, in some, you know, youth sports and things like that. We haven't been able to do that yet,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we've got a great neighborhood that we live in. We've got some great, it's funny. It's just crazy how God puts people in your life. I mean, one of our neighbors, you know, their son, you know, coaches at the University of Missouri, which is where two of my brothers live.
Wow.
You know, so, you know, we've been able to connect with a lot of people out here and, you know, our staff is, you know, a pretty close staff. We've got a lot of families that are, you know, the same age and really kind of take care of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to say, I mean, it's been tough, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been a growing experience. You know, and like I said, we just continue to surrender every day.
Mm-hmm. So, Trent, what's harder, being a dad or being a coach?
You know, I take a lot of pride in trying to be the best dad I can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a lot of people in my life that did a lot of really great things for me growing up. And, you know, I take a lot of pride and, you know, people used to always, you know, whenever, you know, my wife was pregnant with our kids and stuff, they would just say, you know, we're just praying that they're healthy. And she would always just say, I'm just praying that they know Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's, you don't really realize it until you have a kid. I mean, I'll never forget, you know, after we had our first kid, you know, we walked back in the door for the first time, just my wife and I and our son. And it's like, well, this is completely our responsibility now, you know? Yeah. So I take it very personal, you know, you know, being a great dad. And that's our one goal for our kids, is that they know Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if they do that, then everything else is going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard, you know, it's a hard job. You know, and as coaches, you know, there's times that we're away, you know, but as much as my wife can, she brings the boys up to practice and they're around as much as they can be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's very different challenges that come with each, but then some challenges that are the same, because people see, you know, college football players on TV and they're these big bad boys, but you know, a lot of times they're like my 6-year-old son. You know,
it's very true.
They have a lot of the same issues. They're just magnified whenever they're 18 years old.
Hey, just a shout out and a side note. I think you've got the T thing going on. Coach Trent, wife Tori, sons Titus, Thomas, Tobias. There's something
so
there.
If you go all the way back in my family, my dad's parents were Tom and Teresa, and my dad is Troy. My mom's Terry, and I have a brother Travis, and a brother Ty, and a sister Taryn.
Wow.
So. Now my older brother married Megan and my sister married Cody, so they kind of screwed it all up.
Oh my goodness. So was like your first date checklist was, you know, does her name start with a T, okay, we can go out.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And her real name's actually Victoria, but I told her she just has to go by Tori. So
Oh my goodness, I love it. So let's talk a little bit about this year's football team. You know, you're in your first year there. Lots of challenges. I know we've had to work around some of the changes in the season. What is your role there?
So I'm the chief of staff. So I oversee the operation of the entire program. I work very closely with Coach Graham day-to-day operationally, and then also on the defensive side of the ball. Mm-hmm. But really, I'm the first contact for anybody who touches our program. So academics, compliance, athletic training, equipment, travel, facilities, every single thing that has to do with our program comes through my desk. And then from there, I kind of siphon what needs to go to Coach Graham's desk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I oversee kind of the operation of the entire program, work very closely with our athletic director, David Matlin,
mm-hmm.
You know, on program decisions. And then, you know, fortunately, Coach Graham's involved me, you know, a lot with the football side of things as well.
Mm-hmm. What is the focus of our season this year, especially with the pandemic and changes to the season schedule? And
You know, it's been a challenge. You know, we didn't have spring ball. You know, we got here, basically got hired in, you know, February, and got here with our players and had about 8 weeks with them. And then we had 17 weeks without them. You know, so that was tough, you know, just getting to know our guys. So big focus has been getting to know each other. You know, and then also just really learning what can our players execute, because we don't want to do, you know, you'd love for your playbook to be from A to Z, but right now it might have to be from A to, you know, D, you know what I mean? Just, you know, what can we execute? What can we have? Well, we want to be successful, you know, so what can we do that's going to allow our players to be successful, you know? And that's taking a lot of self-reflection as coaches and as a program, to see where we're at. I'll tell you this, we're very excited about where we're at. Our players are very, very excited to start playing this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this first road trip's going to be a big one. You know, we go to Fresno and then we're not coming back before we play Wyoming. So we fly to Fresno and then we fly from there to Denver and we practice in Denver for a week and then we play against Wyoming and then we fly back home.
Wow.
So, you know, the schedule got thrown on us about a month ago. So, you know, we've been working day and night just to get the logistics of that trip done, you know, because there's, when your travel party is 117 people, there's a lot that goes into that.
Wow. Yeah. I can imagine that's an entire plane for some of those legs.
It is. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
How has the Lord really worked through this season, through the leadership of the football team? And more importantly, how can we as a body of Christ in Hawaii support the work that you're doing there?
For sure. So Coach Graham, to me, you know, and we've met with different pastors, and we have, you know, a voluntary team chapel and a voluntary staff chapel every week, you know, and I've heard a lot of people say about him is he's the right guy at the right time for this job, because I mean, this is his fifth Division I head coaching job. He's so mature, and it's this 32nd year coaching. I mean, he has a ton of experience, and you know, through a challenging time like this, he's just provided very, very stable leadership. You know, so we would just ask that you continue to pray for our entire staff, that you would just give us just vision and clarity of how to best serve these players. You know, because it has been, I mean, we're getting, you know, we get COVID tested 3 times a week right now because it's a conference, you know, mandate. And there's so much that goes into, you know, every single day. Just continue to pray for the leadership of this, you know, of the university and of the athletic department and, you know, of this team specifically. But like I said, I mean, I think Coach Graham's the perfect guy for this job right now because of the experience and the wisdom that he brings, you know, because he's seen so many things in his career. Obviously, none of us have ever experienced a season with COVID-19. This is a completely different thing. But, you know, just continued prayer for his, you know, just for the leadership of this program, for wisdom and for clarity.
We're just about out of time, Coach. I'd like to pray for the team, if you don't mind, and as
we
close
awesome.
Out
yeah,
today.
Be great. Yeah,
Father God,
great.
Yeah, thank you so much, Lord. And I thank you for this day with Coach Trent, his transparency, his heart just to serve you and be obedient. I thank you for bringing him here, as well as Coach Graham, to lead what is such an inspirational part of our community in Hawaii, our University of Hawaii football team. Lord God, I pray for protection over them as they lead these young men into not only great football players, but great fathers, great contributors, and most importantly, into an eternal relationship with you, Lord. So Father, I ask that you would give grace where grace is needed. Lord God, that you would give the open door where the open door is needed, Lord God, and that Coach Trent and Coach Graham, they would truly lead these young men to a life full of service, full of your Holy Spirit, and your presence, Lord, that they would make an impact on our state by their very character, Lord. Father, they have talent, but Lord God, build their character. Build a character of men of God, warriors of Jesus Christ. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach Trent. It's been wonderful talking with you, and I wish you the best on your 10-day truck across the Midwest.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And we will be watching and praying for you every day as you're on the road.
Awesome.
And so we are blessed. We are blessed. Thank you, Coach.
Yep. Thanks so much for your time.
These are inspiring words from Coach Trent Figg of the University of Hawaii football team. There is no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, today is the perfect day. Open your heart to Him. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click on Get to Know Jesus. We've got more information there on how you can receive Jesus and start your walk with Him. 1 Timothy 4:8 says, "For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." It is always a blessing to be with you. We want to thank Coach Trent Figg for sharing his testimony today. Until next time, along with my guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Lani Ka'a'a, in for Danny Amashiro. Remember, the good life is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.